not be afraid and always engage in difficult conversations. You are learning a life skill through difficult conversations, and you are also forging a very true and authentic relationship through this process. I think this is an opportunity that you should not miss.
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I am Delia and I am your host for this episode. If you are new to us, do subscribe to our Connect to podcast on your podcast platform. We believe you'll discover interesting topics and helpful conversations. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. From money to misunderstandings, marriage is a hotbed for difficult and intense interactions. How do we deal with these all too common scenarios more effectively and productively? To equip us with some tools for such conversations, I'm delighted to welcome Lee Wai Hung back onto the show. Welcome back to the Connect 2 podcast, Wai Hung.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I recall in a previous episode, you shared with us that you've been married 38 years and you have 3 adult children. Can you share with us a fun fact about being a parent of adult children with our listeners?
Okay, fun fact. Let me just say this very simple situation that we have. We have a bunny at home. My wife has this bunny. It's a Holland Lob rabbit. My daughter and my son-in-law has a dog. And my elder son also has a dog. So there are 3 animals. But that's not the fun fact. The fun fact is that we also dabble in dog boarding. That means that we actually take in dogs of different breeds, different personalities, all into the house for short periods of time. And then they will combine with my children's dogs. Sometimes they will actually come over. And then with the rabbit, it is just absolutely fun, joyful, therapeutic, and even just chaotic, all rolled in at once. So that's the fun that we have.
I know where to take my kids if I need a petting zoo next time.
You're welcome. Your whole family is welcome.
Thank you. Now, in a previous episode, we discussed what makes difficult conversations difficult. And we also covered the 3 elements in every conversation, namely what happened, emotions, and the identity threats that we face that underlie the difficult conversations that we would have. Now, we left off actually talking about how it looks like to start opening up with our spouse, because we realized that the conversation that we have, if we were to plow deeper, actually goes into our values and belief systems, which sometimes stem from our childhood, right?
Yeah,
and that makes us feel very vulnerable to actually open up into that spaces for one another. What is a tool or mindset that you would recommend us to have when we enter a conversation which requires us to be vulnerable and bring our authentic selves into it?
We spoke about the 3 types of components of conversation within a conversation. I also spoke about reframing in difficult conversations. So I'll actually talk about some tools that we use in each of the reframing. So firstly, in reframing from thinking about how we know everything about spouse and we know your intention is this, we know everything, you are now, you know, part of the whole world that I'm in, rather than actually just be curious about, what's in your world, why are you saying this? We need to actually practice this thing that's actually commonly known called active listening. In active listening, I think the most important thing is not just the techniques, but I think to express to our spouse that you are being heard. I think that frame of mind is that, I'm listening to you. I know that you are trying to say something, or I'm actually asking questions to clarify what you are saying to me so that I'm completely open and actually trying to actually understand. So we need to actually reflect. We need to repeat what is being said so that we could understand it more. But we also can actually ask deeper questions or broader questions to actually understand where our spouse is coming from. With that, we will actually just be able to become more curious. Again, to be curious doesn't mean asking questions that you actually have a line of attack at your spouse. The second tool or the second reframing that we talked about to be able to move from this attitude of assigning blame, this is to actually think about what is our mutual contribution? Now, it could be that your contribution to that whole argument could be just 5%, or it could be 90%. But both parties have contribution to that difficult situation or that difficult conversation. So I think it's good for us to acknowledge that instead of saying things like, you did this, you did that, and that is actually attributing blame. You could say things like, I see that you have been upset at this. I could have been more sensitive when I said this, or I could have cleaned up the mess earlier. So you are acknowledging that you have contribution to that situation. You're not saying that you are the main contributor to that whole problem. And that opens up, I think, that conversation and moves you away from this attitude of blame. The third area of reframing, maybe not so much a reframing, is to do that I would recommend, is that you do express your own emotions and your own ideas. I think one of the things in discussing this with a number of couples is that a lot of things get swept under, because we talked about difficult conversations and it's difficult. People are easily distracted or maybe even avoidance of such conversations. So I'm busy with work, so I just concentrate on work. I'm busy with the kids, I'm just concentrate on the kids. They go away from the difficult conversations and they never express what they actually truly want or what they truly feel. So I would say that with this tool that you need to do is to be able to appreciate, reflect what you really feel about it. Not in a form of just wanting this to be done or wanting to just get your own way, but express what you feel about this, where you are going with this, so that it becomes more open. And when you're open, I think we discussed this, you become more vulnerable. And that's, I think, in a relationship is positive, because that is the building stone to actually building a better bonding, a better authentic relationship with your spouse.
Even as I hear you share this, it's a reminder to us that a conflict is not a threat to the relationship, but actually it's an opportunity for growth. Individually, for us to have a deeper understanding of our own reactions, you know, our thought processes. But at the same time, if we allow each other into those parts of our lives, we are going to grow together as a couple. Mm. Let's bring this down to something practical and concrete, right, for the listeners. Let's say the issue is about money. Mm. Yeah, and one partner is a saver and the other spouse is a spender. And this actually starts off with quite differing views on the way that they manage money. And that might also impact the way that they would set their financial goals as a couple, which in the long run shows up as tension. How would you help a couple apply the handles of being curious and using the statements of like, I feel, or I think, to help them address this?
Marriage is one of the most rewarding things in life. Yet, navigating marriage as newlyweds or an engaged couple can sometimes get overwhelming. Whether it's managing expectations of the in-laws, getting a good grasp of your family finances, or establishing good habits of communication and healthy conflict. Focus on the Family Singapore's Marriage Preparation Program aims to help you build a solid foundation in the early years and prepare you for the adventure of your life. Visit family.org.sg/C2MarriagePrep for more information today.
I think money is actually a very important topic to tackle in a relationship. When we talk about money, it makes the two parties, especially in terms of their differing upbringing, into a position where conflict is very strong. So actually a lot of breakups and issues with family derive from monetary issues. At Focus on the Family, we have a program that's called Marriage Builders, where we cover the topic of the concept of money. Money can be a source of self-value or self-actualization. It can also be a source of security or a resource for blessing others. So money can mean many, many different things to different people, including your spouse. And when we think about different ways money is being used and what that concept of money is, it can bring us to very different positions, different stance in terms of money. So coming to back to the question, we have grown up in different families. As we grow in these families, there are many different things that we absorb from the families, and money is one of the things. The concept of money is one of the things. And when we see money differently from our spouse, we need to be able to actually understand that there is no one moralistic view of money or concept of money that is right. We need to, again, going back to being curious to understand why and what money means to our spouse and why is it so. A lot of it goes back to upbringing. We talked about it. We need to also understand where are the boundaries in terms of money, in terms of how comfortable you are, in terms of spending, in terms of saving and all that. Where are the outer bounds for each? And those discussions, I think, are important within the relationship. Again, we talked about this before. We don't attribute bad intention to the way our spouse want to spend their money. We need to understand, we need to come to some kind of agreement, and we also want to actually express that we have common objectives as a family while achieving the common goal. How is this expressed in terms of our use of the money? So I think those are important. And lastly, we also talked about you need to express your view of money to your spouse, because your spouse may not understand where you come from. So that open conversation brings money out in the open. And when we actually have that open discussion, then we can actually find where we lie. Certain parts, it could be that we are spendthrift on one part. Okay, we are good on this, but on the other side, we are going to be more thrifty, and that balance actually needs to be negotiated within the family.
Yeah, I think that's a important reminder not to label our spouse as whether you're too controlling, too tight-fisted, or you're too careless. It is important not to label the behavior, but to actually be curious about what might be underlying the behavior. I do recall one of the Connect 2 podcast episode on the title is Financial Harmony in Marriage. And I do encourage our listeners to, you know, check into the episode, because we actually expound further on our archetypes. And that gives a bit more context as to why different ones of us interact with money differently. And that might give us a bit more understanding even as we navigate this conversation with our spouse. Moving on to the next part. Actually, we received a question from a couple. And this time round, it's from a wife who was asking this question. My child is entering kindergarten next year, and I believe in investing in the best education for her, as I believe that there are long-term benefits. So it does sound like this parent is hoping to send her child to a little bit more expensive preschool. Her husband, however, thinks that they should just enroll her child into a public kindergarten. And they got heated up and ended up in a stalemate each time they talk about this topic. Any advice for them?
I think the advice is they need to talk, because it's very easy for them to just avoid this topic until it's too late, and then they just rush into a decision because, you know, the kid needs to go into kindergarten already. So to be able to actually talk, we need to set that platform, right? That we would be able to have good conversations and not non-threatening, and that we would actually use this to even build the family together. So some of the suggestions I do have is, again, go in with open and curious mind. Do not be set in your way that, hey, you know, we don't need to spend this money, or no, we need to spend this money because it's the only way our kids get the best education. So come in with an open mind. We can actually use that conversation to start to say that, okay, what are our goals? Why do we want to send our kid to kindergarten, and what do we want to achieve? What's the best outcome that we can? So there could be main goals, there could be sub goals. And with this kind of projection, aim or objective, we can say that, okay, to reach this objective, what are the things that are open? So this mindset gives you the ability to then explore different options. So it's almost like a decision table, right? You just say that, okay, I want to achieve this, and these are the options. So you go and take, oh, this achieves this, this doesn't achieve this, and so on. And when you come down to this in an open discussion, rather than with identity-based, you know, my child needs to go this because I lack that, or I've always been deprived of opportunities because I didn't go into a good kindergarten that resulted in me not going to a good primary school and a secondary school and so on and so on and so on, that I need my child to go to. So we move away from that and become more objective in terms of where we approach this. But there is still that need to acknowledge that emotions are involved and identities are involved. So once we come to that discussion, I think we need then to open up. I feel that this is correct. I feel that this is wrong. This is coherent with me. This is not coherent with me. And I would suggest that we go a little bit deeper why we feel that way, based on what we can understand about our identities and our value system. And from there, I think then we can actually just move towards a position of either optimization or compromise and make that decision based on that. So you have moved from what we want to achieve to what are the options to then, okay, I feel good about this, I don't feel good about this. Why do I feel good or not good about this based on our values? And then from there, just work out a solution.
And it does sound like a very full conversation. What do you suggest or recommend to couples who might face a situation where they talk about it halfway and, you know, emotions escalate, or maybe it gets very personal and sometimes they might not be able to remove themselves away from the objective conversation that they are to have? Yeah, what would you recommend for couples?
I think when our emotions are high, generally, I would say that you need to actually understand what triggered you. If you feel that the conversation is going in a way that makes you very upset and that you are now very full of negative emotions, I would say that you should actually ask for a timeout. Mm. Go away, reflect on what are the triggers and why did you suddenly, your emotions actually move to such a high stake, high level of whatever emotions you have, and reflect on that. Does that reflect on a certain value that is being challenged, identity threat? And from there, once you kind of like are able to settle or understand that, then you come back to that conversation. If you don't, but even if you're calmer, you could actually then express it. And if the couple is able to process it together, then we could actually come to that value conversation through asking questions and so on. But I think one of the things you've pointed out is correct, that we should not rush this. We should allocate enough time, because conversations like this take time. And if we practice this, we keep on doing this, we get better and better at asking each other questions and keep probing one another and to understand where we come from and what our values are.
Yeah, I could really relate to a situation like that, because looking towards enrolling my child to primary school, right? And actually, we've had this primary school conversation multiple times and each time we land, but we also walk away knowing that there are still some parts within ourselves, both my husband and I, that we are wanting to talk more about. And each time we talk about it again, we get clearer and a little bit more certain. But can we visit it again?
Yep.
Not that we are changing the decision, but it helps us when we walk off, we process it, right? And we might just be wanting to come back and share, actually now I have this understand, or now I have this realization and I just want to let you know. Yeah, and I felt that helped us, because things happen in our minds, right? And if we don't share back, our spouse won't know.
Yep.
But it really requires discipline to involve each other, you know, in our thought process, so that we can also better appreciate the shared decision and commit to it as we go along, you know, as we process and as we go along.
We seldom go back to a conversation and say, no, you were right in this, or, okay, we actually made this decision, I was against this, but it turned out well. So we seldom go and affirm our partners that that's actually something that was good and so on, you know. Yeah. We unfortunately tend to, oh, I told you so, I was right the first time and so on. But yeah, going back really helps to actually build. And we talk about conflict, building a more authentic bond and a stronger bond. These are opportunities for us to actually go and just affirm our partners and talk this through and just that togetherness.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Hong. And I really enjoyed this conversation that we had. I've learned very practical and actionable tips to handle difficult conversations, even in my own life. As we wrap up for today, any other thoughts or advice that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I just want to part with this, that do not be afraid and always engage in difficult conversations. You are learning a life skill through difficult conversations, and you are also forging a very true and authentic relationship through this process. I think this is an opportunity that you should not miss. So go into the difficult conversations.
Wonderful. That ties in with our couple challenge for this week. If you are listening to this with your spouse, or if you'd like to take this back as a learning point to share with your spouse, here's something that you can do. Identify a tool that you find most helpful for you and that you're likely to apply in your next difficult conversation. We really hope that you have found today's episode helpful and encouraging. And as always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. Thank you for listening in, and don't forget that marriage isn't just about enjoying each other's company, but it's also about building something meaningful together.